NASA has more gas problems at Launchpad 39A. 100 college freshmen will be getting NASA scholarships. And one industry group sees business aviation starting to rebound. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, June 18, 2009. NASA again scrubbed the launch of Endeavour yesterday after a persistent leak in the vent system used to evacuate hydrogen gas from Launchpad 39A at Kennedy Space Center started acting up again. The latest delay is especially frustrating since an orbital sun angle condition called a beta angle cutout prevents launching between June 22nd and July 10th. That cutout creates a thermal condition that prohibits a shuttle from docking with the International Space Station. July 11th is now the earliest NASA can plan to launch Endeavour on mission STS-127, which will finish work on Japan's Kibo module at the ISS. It's not clear where the next generation of NASA scientists will come from, but the agency knows of at least 100 college students who are on the right track. NASA has announced the selection of 100 full-time undergraduate students to receive one-year college scholarships. NASA, which has the most prolific acronym writers anywhere, calls the project Motivating Undergraduates in Science and Technology, or MUST. The project awards scholarships and internships to students who are pursuing degrees in what NASA calls STEM, for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Selected students get year-round tutoring and professional development training, attendance at a lecture series, and mentoring from science, technology, engineering, and math faculty and peers. If they hold a good enough GPA, they're also eligible for a paid internship at a NASA center. It's about time Cessna got some good news. The company says it signed an agreement with Indonesia's Susi Air for the purchase of 30 Grand Caravan single-engine turboprops. Cessna will deliver 8 new Caravans this year and the rest by the end of 2011. Susi Air began operations with 2 Caravans in December of 2006, providing scheduled and charter passenger and cargo service throughout Indonesia, and humanitarian airlift support for the region. The company now flies 10 of the versatile planes. The Grand Caravan boasts a climb rate of 975 feet per minute and cruise speeds up to 184 knots. Its 340 cubic feet of cabin space accommodates up to 12 passengers, a mountain of cargo, or a combination. An optional cargo pod offers a net gain of another half ton and another 111 cubic feet. We're happy to report that while business aviation still obviously has a long way to recover, business aircraft activity, including all IFR flights in the United States, rose in May. Aviation Research Group US bases its statistics on serial number specific aircraft arrival and departure information. In its report to ANN, ARG US found business activity still down 19% from May of last year, but with the gap narrowing as the month progressed and up 3.3% from April. Cessna estimated last week that business aviation manufacturers will trail a recovering economy by 8 quarters. That's 2 years. So let's hope the ARG US report at least means that clock has started ticking. Up next on ANN, a Florida doctor's dream of flight is fulfilled after a decades-long wait. Bonanza owners have a modern new air conditioning option. And a German avionics company opens a production line in the U.S. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 18th. I'm Paul Plack. Aero News would like to congratulate Dr. Glenn Clark of Marianna, Florida. who just passed his check ride for private ASEL in his own Cessna 152. What makes this newsworthy is that Dr. Clark is 74 years old. Clark told the Jackson County Floridian he's always wanted to learn to fly and even started back in the Air Force, soloing a Piper Cub, but switched to medical school and stopped flying. Quote, "Then, of course, you get family, financial, and career obligations, so it's always been a problem finding enough time to do it," unquote. Clark is still co-director of radiology at Jackson Hospital, but found time to fit flight training into his schedule. He bought the 152 2 years ago. In an observation surprising for somebody who became a doctor, Clark said of flight training, quote, "Learning all the facts was a pretty big job," unquote. When asked what the single hardest part was, he replied, quote, "Landing," unquote. In a perfect segue from a story about a flying doctor, C-Mac International Incorporated and AC Systems LLC have introduced a new, more modern air conditioning and heating system, which has been STC'd for many 14 and 28-volt Bonanza models. Just pick your temperature setting and enjoy fully digital, automatic control of both heat and AC. The companies claim no discernible loss of performance. During startup or low bus voltage, the climate control system automatically cycles off through its built-in load shedding control. Bonanzas with existing zoned aft heat control receive electronic control of the aft heat within reach of the middle row of passengers. When maintenance is required, the system provides fault codes, sensor output, and mode information to allow for effective diagnostics and repair. MSRP is $16,500 U.S. in kit form or $18,500 installed. Find out more at ftaaviation.com. Germany's Becker Avionics is making a move it hopes will solidify its growing presence in the U.S. The company will begin production of its digital audio and intercom system, the DVCS-6100, at its North American subsidiary, Becker Avionics Incorporated, in Miramar, Florida. CEO Roland Becker commented, quote, "It is critical for us that we remain competitive in the biggest aviation market in the world. Our strategic decision for Made in America will further support our aggressive expansion plan in the U.S., as we enter an exciting new phase for the Becker Avionics Group," unquote. The company is best known in experimental circles in the U.S. for its miniature panel mount comm radios and transponders. The DVCS-6100 audio and intercom system fits a larger traditional avionics rack. The company claims over 300 systems in service with outstanding field reliability. Still ahead, the Airshow Hall of Fame wants your vote. 8 charity auction winners get the Lindbergh experience. And what's the best way to keep blowing sand out of a laptop computer? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wasp GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, June 18th. I'm Paul Plack. When you attend your favorite air show this summer, you might want to make some notes as you watch. The International Council of Air Shows Foundation is looking for nominations for the Air Show Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame Chairman Steve Oliver observes, quote, "This is an opportunity to recognize those who have brought the air show industry forward and who have inspired us all," unquote. And he does mean all of us. You don't have to be a member of the industry or of ICAST to vote. Pilots, announcers, stunt people, producers, designers, builders, all of them are eligible, and so is anybody else whose showmanship, performance, or innovation has made a significant impact on the industry. Candidates must have entered the airshow industry a minimum of 10 years prior to the year of nomination. This year's deadline for submissions is August 1st. The induction ceremony will be held during the annual ICAST convention in December in Las Vegas. You might recall the Lindbergh Foundation held an online fundraising auction May 15th through the 17th. Among the marquee items up for bid was a ride in a replica of the original Spirit of St. Louis, used by Charles Lindbergh to make the first nonstop Atlantic crossing in 1927. The particular replica involved was EAA's Spirit of St. Louis reproduction, which eliminated the aux fuel tank of the original in favor of a second seat, making it the only replica which allows the placement of a passenger at the same seating location Lindbergh occupied on the historic crossing. The limited view from that seat is said to make every flight a simulated instrument flight. 8 lucky bidders from around the U.S. have now taken their rides. Reactions had a common theme: stability. Larry Williams of Ballistic Recovery Systems in St. Paul, Minnesota commented, quote, "I was awestruck to learn how unstable the aircraft is, and how to keep it flying you need constant input and diligence," unquote. Lyndon Blue of Spectrum Aeronautical in San Diego said of Lindbergh, quote, "I have even greater respect for his airmanship after having seen how unstable the airplane is. There is no way it could get certified today. You have to fly it every second," unquote. Jeff Leffler of Wyoming, Minnesota commented, quote, "I found the ailerons heavy, relatively unresponsive, and they created considerable adverse yaw. It helped to have a well-developed forearm and responsive feet. Flying over the Wisconsin fields, I couldn't help drifting into thoughts of yesteryear and trying to imagine what it was like to occupy that seat over the Atlantic in 1927, unquote. We'll have to take their words for it. EAA's Spirit replica is not scheduled to make another public appearance until 2011, making it even more rare than the chance to ride in a Ford Trimotor or a B-17. And finally, look for me in the desert the next few days. The Utah Rotorcraft Association is holding its annual Rotors Over the Rockies event this weekend, and the early birds were already camping there last night with their experimental helicopters and gyroplanes. Mobile phones are kind of iffy out there, but we do have a slow satellite internet connection, so I'll still be able to do our daily aerocasts from the tent, and maybe even send back a few pictures you'll find interesting. I'm told we'll be sharing bandwidth with the U.S. Department of Defense on the satellite, so anything could happen to the speed of our connection based on world events, but worst case, I'll save the pictures for next week. There's a webcam at www.prachapter2.org with a numeral 2. It's pointed at the taxiway and set to snap a photo anytime an aircraft moves through the viewfinder. You're welcome to join the fun either virtually or in person. And, okay, yes, for the guys bringing their two-strokes to fly in density altitudes expected to top 7,000 feet before we ever leave the runway, rotors over the Rockies may be hopelessly optimistic. But hey, we're expecting at least one turbine helicycle, so who knows? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with 2009's new National CFI of the Year, and the first woman to earn the title, Arlene McMahon. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.